But in the book of Genesis, we're going to be in chapter 37. Let's all stand our respect for God's word. Chapter 37 in the book of Genesis, and we'll get started. Chapter 37. Let's all stand, if you will. Beginning at verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. You ever been hated so much? But Joseph was. In verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? Verse 11, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray you'd give me wisdom. I pray you'd encourage every heart in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you finding God's will. Finding God's will. Everybody wants to find God's will. And I have many different texts on that, but I want to share with you the thoughts of finding God's will. And Joseph is a good life to look at to figure out how to find God's will in your life. Now, I want to share with you about three or four points. Number one, you need to follow the father's testimony. Follow the father's testimony here, which is Joseph's father. In verse 1, it tells us, it introduces us to Jacob. And then in verse 2, it tells us that Joseph was only 17 years old. So he was a 17-year-old kid. And he was doing the same task. He was out minding the flocks. You see that in verse 2. He was taking care of the flocks. And I don't know if any of you have ever taken care of sheep, but they're nasty animals and they're dumb animals. And one of my best high school buddies had a farm of sheep, and we would sit and talk sometimes, and they are dumb animals. And that's why the scripture makes the analogy of us being sheep, because whether you like it or not, compared to God, we're dumb animals. But he was out minding the flock. And then, if you notice, it says in the end of verse 2 that Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. What he did is he brought a true report, but he brought a report that didn't reflect too well upon the brothers. He would always tell his daddy the truth. Now, Joseph, when he took care of the flock, that's an example of being in the world, but he was not of the world. He was true to his father. He was true to Jacob. And he would always tell Jacob what was going on. He didn't sugarcoat anything. And you and I need to do the same thing. Now, let me share with you a little secret here. In verse 3, and I've shared this before, verse 3, now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Now, a lot of people will say, well, why in the world would Israel or Jacob love Joseph more than his other kids? That's not a good thing. A parent should never love one child more than the other. I agree. We should all love our children the same. But that's not what this means. What this means is Joseph was Jacob's go-to person. In my family, I've got several kids. I've got three children. And I know which ones, if I ask them to do something, I don't have to ask a second time. They're my go-to people. If you notice, when Pastor Tooley was here, his go-to people was Miss Debbie and Miss Jenny. And I think sometimes it was more Miss Jenny because she ran faster than Miss Debbie did. But every parent, it's not that you love one child more than the other, it's that they're your go-to person. And, you know, when I go ask my children to do something, I don't want to hear 50 million excuses. I really don't. I want them to say, yes, Daddy, I'll do that. Because in my mind, I've already thought through it that it can be done. So the reason Jacob, or later known as Israel, loved Joseph, quote, more than all of his brethren, is because if Jacob asked Joseph to do something, he didn't have to worry about it. And if Jacob said, Joseph, I want you to go and check and see how your brothers are doing, Joseph, not being a mean brother, but being a faithful son, would report back to his daddy the truth. And if you've got somebody that takes in my office, my go-to person is my legal assistant, Barbara. I can tell 10 other paralegals what to do, and I don't know if it's going to get done or not. And when I tell them, I'll always tell Barbara, I've asked this person to do this. Can you check on it? She is my go-to person. She sees that it's done. Even though my daddy left town when I was young, when daddy came back and raised some crops, tobacco actually, up in Blackstone area, he would always ask me to come and help in the fields because he knew if he asked me to do something, Ms. Nelly, I would do it. And if he chose to pay me or if he didn't pay me, I wouldn't complain about it. So Joseph was a go-to person, a go-to person. I ask you this question. Are you a go-to person for anybody in your life? My sister-in-law, Virgie, is a go-to person for me. If I'm going to plan anything down where I grew up, Ms. Tooley, if I call Virgie ahead of time and say, Virgie, number one, is it okay if we do this? She'll always tell me the truth. If she doesn't like it or think it's a dumb idea, and she doesn't mean any harm, I can always trust her to say, well, Ray, that's not a good idea, that she has good intentions. But number two, if she says she'll get it done, it is done. I don't have to worry about it. It's done. And if she thinks that I've asked her to do too much, Ms. Nelly, she'll tell me. She'll say, I'll do the first three items. You do the other 55 items. She is a go-to person. She is someone that I can call up, and she'll give me an honest opinion. She'll tell me exactly what she'll do, and she will get it done without me checking up behind her. And she'll tell me what I need to do, even though I don't want to hear that sometimes. Are you a go-to person? Jacob could trust Joseph. Jacob could always receive respect from Joseph. You know, do you have anybody in your life or your kids that you ask them to do something and something is valuable to you and they make fun of you? Or they think, well, that's a stupid idea? Well, how many people wants your child to tell you it's a dumb idea? Even if it is a dumb idea, I like it, and let's do it, okay? And so Joseph would never come back to Daddy and say, Daddy, this is a dumb idea to make me take care of these sheep on the backside of this mountain. This is a dumb idea to make... Joseph never did that. He showed his daddy respect, and he respected his daddy's ideas. He respected him, and he said yes, and didn't come up with 50 million excuses. So in verse 3, if you ever hear anybody say, well, it's wrong for any parent to love one child more than the other, I agree. We're all in agreement on that. But if you ever hear them say Jacob was wrong because he loved Joseph more than the rest of his kids, they are wrong. They're misunderstanding that scripture. Joseph was a go-to person for Jacob. Joseph was a go-to person. Now, it says in verse 3, he was also the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. That is, it was different patches, patchwork. It was basically, it was all different patchwork put together. You know, my aunts and so forth sometimes would make a quilt. My wife made a quilt for our grandbaby. I have one grandchild, a few more on the way, but Willow Ray. And my wife made a quilt for her. And a quilt is something that you give to someone you love. And so Daddy made him a coat of many colors to show respect to him, show that he appreciated him. Now, watch this, and I can just read these verses to you. In Proverbs 16:3, it says this. I love this verse. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Watch this. I'm going to read it again. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. What does God want us to do first? To commit our works to him. And then he takes care, he makes you think right, Ms. Nelly. If I commit my works to him, Brother Jeff, then he says, thy thoughts shall be established, will help me to think straight. The other thing he does is my thoughts, my plans, this also means this, he will establish. So if I have plans, let's say, Heather, if you have plans to have 10 kids, I hope you don't, but if you do, that's fine. But if you do, then God says if you commit your works to him, he will protect your plans. He will take care of them. If we commit our works to him, he takes care of our plans. Mothers, if you want your children to be blessed, you commit your works to the Lord, and God will take care of your plans. We'll see that in the life of Joseph. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We all have dreams, amen. We all have things we want to see happen in our lives. Commit your works to the Lord, and God will take care of those dreams. One of my favorite verses My life verses is Psalm 37, 4 and 5. To delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I've held on to that all my life. And Joseph was committed early on. He was a 17-year-old boy. And we need to commit our lives to the Lord, commit our work to the Lord. A part of me, and I'll just share with you my thoughts, I commit to the Lord being in church. I commit to the Lord hanging up a VBS sign. I commit to the Lord in reading his word every day. I commit to the Lord in praying for you guys every day. I commit to the Lord. In fact, on Tuesday, you know, we have our prayer and fasting day, and have I pray for you and your sister and your family, because once upon a time, Jeff wrote you, he scribbled it down. He's not the best writer I've ever seen, but he scribbled it down. And on Tuesdays, we have prayer and fasting, so you've already been prayed for before I ever met you. And I prayed for a husband too, brother, so you've been prayed for too, amen. So the Lord wants us to commit our works to him. Number one, follow the Father's testimony. Now, in verse 4, watch this, back in our text, in verse 4, it says this. After he had made him this coat, in verse 4, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Now, truthfully, what should have been their response? They should have learned to be go-to people. They should have given their daddy somebody to trust. They should have let daddy be able to once and for all trust them and be able to depend upon them. But instead of doing that, they hated their brother. Instead of getting right with their daddy, they hated their brother. And Joseph just wanted somebody that he could trust. Now, let me share one thought with you. It says, when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Watch this. They couldn't even speak to him, Isnelli, because they hate. Watch this. If you and I get crossways, Brother Jeff, communication will 99% of the time resolve it. But if instead of us communicating, like you come into, this is what the brothers didn't do, Ms. Nellie. They didn't go to Joseph and say, hey, we hate you. They never communicated that to him. Because later on, he kept telling them his dreams. He didn't have a clue they hated him. So, Brother Jeff, if you and I get crossways, and you think I've done something stupid and I've done you wrong, you have one of two choices: to be upset, quote, hate me, and not to be able to speak to me, and it'll grow. I've seen people that couldn't speak to one another, that it grew, and that for the rest of their lives until the day they die. I had my brother call me up yesterday. Yesterday was my birthday, and my brother called me up, and I hope some of you give me gifts, but I'm just joking. But my brother called me up, Brother Jeff, and what he was talking about is people in the neighborhood. One fellow just died. He was 78, and he was listing all the people this fellow had given up on and wouldn't talk to for all those years, and then he's dead now. It's too late to go back. So you've got one or two choices: to get upset with me, and then you'll think it builds on itself. It builds and builds and builds. Well, Brother Ray should have been nice to me, or should have shaken my hand, and then it builds and then everything I do is wrong. It builds and builds until it separates us forever. Or you can come to me, and this is what I do with my wife. This is true. I'll sit in and say, honey, I perceive that you meant this by what you said. Meaning you meant to jack my jaw. I perceive that. Can you tell me why that's not true? But I say it in a nice way. And 9 times out of 10, Ms. Tula, I misunderstood what she said. I misunderstood it. I remember there was one time that I thought I told Yvonne we were going out when I got home and to a dinner or whatever it was, Brother Jeff, with people. And lo and behold, I forgot. Evidently, I didn't tell her. She wasn't ready. So was she happy when I walked in and said, are you ready to go? Came in from work. No, she was not happy. We had a miscommunication. Now, how long did Yvonne let that last? About 30 seconds going down the highway. We got that straight. So here, when the brethren would not communicate to their brother Joseph, this whole thing grew. It grew. Now, look at verse 5. And then Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren. See, he did not know that they hated him. And their results, I promise you, once you get crossway with somebody, everything grows. It grows and grows and grows. They hated him yet the more. So every time he told them a dream, they hated him more. Now think about it. Why did Joseph tell his brothers a dream? He wanted them to share in on his dreams. A lot of times, I like to share things, Ms. Nellie, with my sister. Well, there was a point in time when if I shared anything with her, like I'd say, I'll go home, get on the phone with my sister and say, we had so many guests at our church today. Well, there was a time when she thought I was playing bragging rights with her. And she'd get upset, Brother Jeff. Or if I told her I went out and got, finally got me a new tie or something, she would have to tell me the three dresses she just brought. You know, I was just sharing to be happy. I'm happy. So why was Joseph sharing? He was happy. He had these dreams and he wanted to share them with his brothers. Yet his brothers misinterpreted his dreams and hated him. So a lot of times when you've got good things, sometimes my wife wants to share good things with me. Boring, but she wants to share them with me. Like she wanted to show me this sewing thing she did. I don't know if you sew, Heather, but she wanted to show me the sewing thing. So Brother Jeff, I had to go in there and sit in, and she was telling me all the different knots you put in, and I'm thinking, my brain is tied in a knot now. Listen to this. But I acted excited, Miss Tooley, because she wanted to tell me what this sewing machine could do. I mean, it had 4,000 buttons on it. I would know which one to push. Amen. But she was sharing it with me. That's all Joseph wanted to do, but his brothers misinterpreted and hated him. You ever bought a new car or new to you? I've never owned a new car myself. You ever bought a new car new to you and you want to show it to your family members and they're thinking, what do you think you are? Well, I just bought it. It's new to me. It's secondhand, but it's new to me. So that's all Joseph was doing here. He was just sharing it with his brothers. Now, in verse 12, we get on down here, and we're going to run through the second half. And his brethren, verse 12, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel, which is Jacob, said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. So Joseph, being obedient to daddy, said, daddy, I'm here if you want to send me. And Joseph was sent to his brethren. Now, on the way, these verses happen. Verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. This is what his brothers did to Joseph. And now remember, he's a 17-year-old boy, and the pit was empty and there was no water in it, meaning it was rough going, and they threw him in the pit. Now, when things happen like this to you, when you get thrown into a pit and people misunderstand you, you've got to trust God. Job, chapter 23, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Joseph was being put into a test. Now let me ask you something. How many of you would love your brothers after they threw you into a pit and took your coat from you? You would not do that. But this is what they did to Joseph. Now again, I'm still on point number one. Follow the father's testimony. God, Brother Jeff, tells us to go places, and sometimes we get into difficulties. Joseph was told by his father to go to his brethren, and they stole his coat and threw him into a pit, and they wanted to kill him. But that was all, watch this, that was all in God's master plan. Number two, not only should you follow your father's testimony, but number two, you need to keep the faith when you're taken onto God's launch pad. Now, if you miss everything else I say, don't miss this. You need to keep the faith when you find yourself all of a sudden on God's launch pad. What's a launch pad? A launch pad is like being in an airplane. You're getting ready to get launched into the air. Now, don't miss this if you miss everything else. In chapter 37, verse 22, and Reuben said unto them, because they wanted to kill him in verse 21, let us kill him. Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, one of the brothers, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father. Reuben, watch this, when Joseph got on God's launch pad, meaning it was time for a lot of things to happen that Joseph as a 17-year-old boy would not understand, one of the brothers named Reuben wanted to spare him. Watch this. Everybody has a Reuben in your life. Everybody. It may be a family member, but everybody has a Reuben that is praying for you and wants to get you out of your danger. Verse 29, though, and Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. Now watch this. Reuben had good intentions, and Reuben wanted to come back and save Joseph out of the pit, Ms. Nellie, But when Reuben got back, they had already sold Joseph into slavery, and Reuben couldn't save him. Watch this. Sometimes our good intentions as Reubens to help the Josephs in the world, sometimes those good intentions are blocked by God because God has a greater picture for Joseph. A lot of times, Brother Jeff, there are Reubens in your life that will try to get you out of the pit and spare your life. And you want them to help you, but a lot of times God will cut them off because God's got to let you go through the meat grinder to get you in a different direction. And that's tough, Ms. Tooley. That's tough. And a lot of times when you, Brother Jeff, and I play Reubens, I play it in my girls' life a lot. When we play Reubens, Francis, when we're trying to save somebody, and we've done everything we can do, Ms. Nellie, and they're still sold into slavery, that's God blocking our, stopping them because God has a greater purpose. Now watch this. Not only did Reuben get blocked, but in verse 23, they took the coat of many colors. Watch this. They took the coat. That coat represented their daddy's love. That coat represented their daddy's blessings on that boy, Joseph. And they took the outward sign of their daddy's blessings. They took the coat away from him. Watch this, Brother Jeff. Sometimes people will look at your life and your coat of many blessings, of many colors, is taken away from you. And when people look at you, they say, I no longer see God's coat of love on Brother Jeff's life. I no longer see God's coat of many colors on Brother Jeff's life. So surely God has left him. Not true. Not true. And here, when they stole his coat of many colors, it did not mean for a second that God the Father had stopped loving him or had rejected him or was somehow punishing him. It did not. Look, watch this. God had to get Joseph in a different place. He's a 17-year-old boy. Do you ever have things going on in your life you can't understand? And you wonder why God is letting your own brothers hate you? And you're wondering why God is letting your brothers steal your coat of many colors? And you're wondering why God is letting your brothers want to kill you? And you're wondering why God lets your brothers throw you into a pit? Because God has a greater plan for you and me. And we may have to go through the pit. We may have to go through and lose things. You may have to go through and have your Reubens who want to save you and help you blocked out of your life. You may have to have that because God has got to get you to a point that he can use you in a greater way. In verse 25, watch this. And they sat down the brothers to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Their greed allowed God to use them, and they said, why are we going to kill him when we can sell him and make money off of him? So Judah said, why don't we just sell the boy and make some money off of the boy? And God let their greed save his life. God will let your enemy's bad intentions spare your life. God will let your enemy's bad intentions to you be blocked so that God can protect you. And when the Ishmaelites came, they said, let's sell him. And they sold him for 20 pieces of silver in verse 28. And he went up to Egypt. Now, watch this. And when they came back to their father, they showed their father the coat because they had dipped it in goat's blood. In verse 34, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. Why? Because Jacob knew the coat and said, it is my son's coat, and evil beasts have devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Now, watch this. And then in verse 35, and all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. All of his sons, these brothers that had tried to kill Joseph, was in their house living a lie, trying to comfort daddy without telling daddy the truth. They lived a lie. And they never told daddy what they did to their brothers, to Joseph, until many years later when daddy got transported down to Egypt. They never told him. And all those years, those boys lied. Do you ever have anybody lie about you and they never change? Let me tell you something. If you're waiting for the people who've lied about you to all of a sudden confess and get the story straight, you're wasting your time. It's not going to happen. So number one, follow the Father's testimony. Number two, keep the faith when you find out you're on God's launch pad. And number three, and I'm going to close with this, flee places of temptation. Don't ever give in to temptation just because you're suffering a bad situation. In Genesis 37, verse 36, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and a captain of the guard. So they sold him into slavery down into Egypt. Isn't that a bad thing? Wouldn't you think, well, as a 17-year-old boy, well, God, why aren't you working in my life? But they sold him into Egypt. Now, here's what happens. In verse 30, chapter 39, verse 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him thither. And the Lord, watch this, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. How can you be a prosperous man being a slave? Because the hand of God is on you. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw, watch this, that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph was a 17-year-old slave in Potiphar's house, yet his master saw that God had blessed this boy. He saw his blessings. You may be in slavery, but the people around you can see that God has blessed you if you let your light shine. And that's what happened with Joseph. Now, in verse 7, he was as a slave, but God had to get him to a different place. Verse 7 of chapter 39, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon him, and she said, lie with me. She wanted him to go to bed with her. Verse 8, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to me, my hand. There's none greater in this house than I. Joseph says, I'm the big cheese. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph saw his life as lived before God. And he didn't say to this lady, say, well, you know, I deserve a break because I've had a bad break. I've been sold into slavery. My brothers want to kill me, and I'm just going to sin. He didn't do that. He always thought in terms of how can I sin against God? You see, the only thing that will keep you close to God is you've got to be thinking, how can I sin against God? If I commit some sin against you, Ms. Nell, if I go and beat up your car, bruise it up, I'm sinning against God, not you. And we need to think about that. Now, watch what happens to Joseph, and we're done. It says in verse 11, Joseph went back into the house of chapter 39. Verse 12, she caught his garment to try to pull him into the bed with her. That's unbelievable, isn't it? But she did. He fleed and got away. And then lo and behold, she told a lie about him, just like the brothers did. She said, as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and he fled, she lied, said he tried to force himself. And in verse 19, and it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Watch this. Joseph was hated of his brothers, sold into Egypt as a slave. When he got to Egypt as a slave, Potiphar's wife lied about him. He went from being a slave and a servant into the prison. You're thinking, what kind of God would let that happen to this poor guy's life? Jehovah God. Why? There was a reason. He let him go right on into the prison. And when he was in the prison, guess who Joseph met? He met the butler and the baker. And guess what Joseph did? He interpreted their dreams. Remember, he was a dreamer. He interpreted their dreams in prison. And then what happened was, he interpreted their dreams, and then, lo and behold, in chapter 41, verse 1, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Joseph was in prison for 2 years. He interpreted the butler and the baker's dream. They didn't tell the king about it. He stayed in that prison, was rotting in prison for 2 more years. 2 years later, Pharaoh had a dream. Guess who Pharaoh called to interpret the dream? Joseph. Joseph went from being the favorite child of his father to being hated by his brothers who wanted to kill him, to being sold into slavery, to being as a slave lied upon and thrown into prison. Why? Because God had to get him in front of Pharaoh in Egypt. Watch this, and we're done. Watch this. And here's what happened to Joseph. In chapter 41, verse 39, it says this, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this," this is after Joseph interpreted the dreams, "there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." A 17-year-old boy, Brother Jeff, hated by his brothers, warned to kill him, sold into slavery, lied to by the master's wife, thrown into prison so he could end up with a butler and a baker and interpret their dreams. When he interpreted their dreams, they forgot him in there for 2 more years until one day Pharaoh had a dream and said, "Somebody tell me my dream." And they brought him little old Joseph because they said Joseph can interpret dreams. He's got a connection with God. Everybody in the prison knew that Joseph had a connection. And Joseph interpreted the dreams, and they made him second to Pharaoh. That means they put a ring on his hand. That means they put a robe on him. And that means when Joseph was in the king's traffic going down the city streets of Egypt, guess who had to bow to Joseph? Potiphar's wife who lied about him. The people who lied about him had to bow down to Joseph because he was second only to Pharaoh. Now watch this. Well, whatever happened, Brother Ray, to those brothers? Can you tell me, just at least give me a little insight? Well, I'll tell you. And we're done. Genesis 45, verse 3. This is many years later when there's a famine in Israel. And the brothers showed up to find food. And guess who they ran into? Joseph. And what would you think Joseph would want to do to you if you were his brother? I think my days are numbered. But watch what Joseph said. He's a type of Christ. And Joseph, in Genesis 45, verse 3, said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren, Joseph was about 30, 31 at this time, I think. And his brethren could not answer, for they were troubled at his presence. If you were his brothers, Miss Tooley, wouldn't you be troubled that he's still hanging around? And Joseph said unto his brethren, now don't miss this, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt those 14 years ago. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves," say what? "That ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." You see, Joseph saw God's hand. Question, do you see God's hand even when people hate you? Even when people lie about you? Even when you have to suffer and be a servant? Even, you know, some of us, you may think, well, I know more than my boss, I ought to have his job. Joseph would have said the same thing. Even when you're thrown in prison for something you didn't do. And Joseph could see through it all because God had blessed his heart. He could see God meant this so that I could be second to Pharaoh. And when you, my brothers, were starving to death because of the famine, I could take care of you. God meant it and sent me here. Are you on God's launch pad? There's a lot of things going on in your life that you can't stop. It could be God has got to do all that to get you up into Egypt to where you'll be second to Pharaoh, to where you can do things that God wants you to do. Get on God's launch pad. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time together. I pray you bless each and every heart. I pray your will be done in our lives. Bless the worship hour as well. In Christ's name, amen. All right, break time.